Mai Govanen, welcome to Tolkien Lore Channel. I'm the Tolkien Geek, and this is my third entry in my extreme nitpick of Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings trilogy, and with this one we're finally going to finish The Fellowship of the Ring. Just to remind everybody, a lot of this kind of extreme nitpick is in fun. This is kind of like if you were really going to do something CinemaSin style on Lord of the Rings, these are the more legitimate criticisms that you might find, unlike a lot of the ones that CinemaSins has, which are just stupid. but in this one, we're going to finally wrap up The Fellowship of the Ring, and then the next time I do one of these, we'll be starting The Two Towers. And we're going to pick up where we left off, which is in Lothlorien, except I'm actually going to be going a little bit back, because the first one I have is actually slightly before the last one I did the last time, because I realized I actually missed something kind of interesting, which is that Haldir, whenever the Fellowship arrive in Lothlorien and they start talking, he says to Frodo, "You bring great evil with you," and then he turns to Aragorn and says, "You can go no further." How does he know what Frodo is carrying? And why is he not letting them pass? This may seem like, you know, kind of a non-problem at first, and you can, you know, maybe guess that Peter Jackson is just trying to give the idea that the elves have this really supernatural sense of evil or whatever, and that's why Haldir can tell that Frodo is carrying the ring or something, you know, maybe not the ring specifically, but what makes this a problem is the fact that in just a few minutes in the movie, we're going to get in front of Celeborn and Galadriel, and then Celeborn is going to say, 8 there are here, but 9 there were set out from Rivendell. Tell me, where is Gandalf?" He knows how many there are. And this harkens back to the book, because in the book, Celeborn and Galadriel know their number. Haldir, at first, when he meets them in the book, is like, "I don't, you know, we keep strangers out of this place. You're not really allowed in here. But because of your extreme circumstances, I'm going to let you in, but you got to all be blindfolded." And then on their way to Lothlorien, the, you know, Khaerhas Galathon, the really center where everybody lives, they run into a messenger of some sort who basically lets Haldir know, "Oh, these guys are fine. We already know they're coming." And so that's when he unblindfolds all of them, and, you know, this is where they end up at Cairn Amroth, and, you know, Aragorn has his little memory and whatever. But in the movie, we don't have any of that. We do find out that Celeborn knows that there were supposed to be 9 of them, not just 8, but apparently nobody else bothered to mention, "Hey, we've got people coming, you know, that we ought to be letting in." But also Haldir is never told, "Actually, you were kind of mistaken. They were supposed to be let in." So how does he know what they're doing? Or what's going on? Again, you might put that down to just he's an elf and he's got like a supernatural sixth sense about this. But why go? You can go no further and then never really get around explaining any of that. I mean, like, it would have been one thing if they had had something like in the book where a messenger comes or he gets in front of Celeborn and Galadriel and they tell him, "Yeah, it was fine letting them in because we know what they're up to and we're trying to help them." But they never do that, and so it just seems like a needlessly created tension for no purpose, and which is kind of hard to explain in the plot a little bit. So it's just kind of like, why? Another one here, and most of these I try to stick with things that are kind of create something like plot incoherence. But in this particular instance, it's not really plot incoherence so much as not really fitting with the rest of the broader feel of Middle-earth, and that is Galadriel being really creepy. And the reason that I have a problem with this is elves are supposed to be, you know, kind of ethereal and otherworldly, but in a positive way. Not in a negative, scary, whatever kind of way. Now, we do get, you know, stuff like Gimli's, you know, little conversation with Frodo saying, you know, there's a elf sorceress who lives in these woods, and he makes out like she's super dangerous and all this stuff, which is actually not a Gimli line in the book. That's more of a Boromir thing. And we do get other things in the book where there's, you know, the Rohirrim are clearly very mistrustful of the elves of Lothlorien and all this stuff. Here it's Gimli that does it, which, you know, whatever, they transposed it to Gimli because Gimli is a little more of a solid part of, you know, the bigger story, and we're not going to give it to Boromir, but whatever. What I don't like about it is the fact that in this particular case, Gimli is saying this, but the point is he's clearly supposed to be wrong, and yet almost everything about Galadriel for the first 10 minutes, maybe, that we see her in the movie seems to confirm that Gimli was right, which is kind of a problem. And, you know, Galadriel herself is supposed to be kind of almost the pinnacle of what it is to be a high elf. And, you know, she's supposed to be extremely beautiful, extremely wise, extremely good, all these kinds of things. Not a creepy witch-like presence or whatever. And yet, you know, up until after she resists the ring when Frodo offers it to her, we get the impression that she could be the most dangerous thing that they've met up to this point. Which is like, she's an elf. She's not supposed to be like that. Like, if you want to just give us the impression that she's dangerous because she might want to claim the ring, that's one thing, but that's not what the movie does, except in the one scene with the Mirror of Galadriel. She's creepy up to that point in totally different ways, like when she gives the whole speech at the very beginning where she's welcoming him and then suddenly starts talking to Frodo in his mind and says, "Welcome, Frodo of the Shire, one who has seen the eye," you know, and her eyes just, and it zooms in on. It's like, why? What is the point of that? What, other than creeping us all out, what is that supposed to do? What, I never liked this in the movie. I've never liked it. It's, you know, there's many things about the movies that I've had criticisms of ever since I saw it, some of which I've kind of been like, okay, I can see why you did that, because it's a movie, right? But this one is just, I don't like it. I just don't like it at all. Granted, Peter Jackson's elves are a lot more serious than, let's say, Tolkien's elves. There is no tra-la-la-lally in Peter Jackson's Middle Earth. But still, it just rubs me wrong all kinds of ways that Galadriel is like this in the movie. It just does not seem to fit with anything else that we know about elves in this world, and so that's why I put it on this list. So another one that happens in Lothlorien is when Sam has just been informed by Legolas that the elves are singing a lament for Gandalf, and he says, "I bet they don't mention his fireworks," and he gives his line, which is straight out of the book. This is not the problem. The problem is, while he's reciting these impromptu and very impressive lines, we get a brief aside of Gimli snoring, and Aragorn kind of smacks him to wake him up. This is another one, kind of like the last one, that I have never really liked about this movie. For one thing, it's just introducing comedy in a situation where it's really not called for. But the reason that it's on this list more particularly is the fact that, why is he whacking Gimli? I mean, sure, he's snoring, and that's, you know, kind of not cool when somebody's reciting poetry, but there's no way Gimli literally just fell asleep in the one or two lines that Sam has already delivered. He had to have been sleeping before that, and so it's kind of rude to wake Gimli up, and he's literally about to go talk to Boromir and say, "Take some rest, these borders are well defended." And Galadriel literally just told them all, "Go now and rest." Like, they're supposed to be resting and relaxing. That's the point. And he's ruining that for Gimli. You know, combine this with the fact that it's just a really dumb piece of comedic tension breaking. You know, there are times when comedy breaking tension is fine and even merited. But in this particular instance, it just seems like it's really intrusive, because what we're trying to feel here is the company's sadness at the loss of Gandalf and the fact that, you know, the elves around them are also lamenting Gandalf's demise and, you know, all this is going on. We need to feel that. That's, you know, and we've already kind of felt it because they were all crying after they left Moria, but, you know, it's perfectly legitimate to have that again here in Lothlorien where they have a little more time to stop, slow down, and really feel it. And they just, you know, they start to give that to us and then they just have this stupid comedic moment, which doesn't even make sense in the context of the movie because Gimli is doing exactly what he's supposed to be doing. So, yeah, I just find this one extremely annoying. All right, next one, we've left Lothlorien and we've made it all the way to Parth Gallen, which is not really Parth Gallen in the movie because the whole point of Parth Gallen is there's supposed to be like kind of a meadow and this is all woods, but nevertheless, Frodo wanders off from the group. In the book, he leaves the group for a while specifically so that he can think about his decision whether to go east directly to Mordor or go with, you know, take Boromir's idea of going to Minas Tirith. Now, the reason this is a problem is because earlier in the movie, just before they left Lothlorien, Celeborn comes to Aragorn and gives him this knife and says, "You're being tracked," after telling him, "We've seen orcs bearing the White Hand, they're traveling in the sunlight, you know, all this really dangerous stuff." And so he's basically like, "You're being followed, you're going to," and he even says, "We're going to give you boats so that you have the chance of outrunning the enemy to the Falls of Rauros." If you're trying to outrun the enemy, it means they're potentially keeping up with you, and you don't want to be in a situation where anybody could be caught off guard. And Boromir is apparently the only one smart enough to think about this in the movie, because when he meets up with Frodo, following him, of course, so that he can try to convince him about the ring, he says, "None of us should wander alone." Okay, yeah, that's true, but apparently not because Aragorn told anybody what Celeborn told him, because apparently nobody else has this concern except Elf Legolas, who, you know, like Haldir, just has some magical sixth sense that danger is approaching. Apparently Aragorn has literally told nobody. By the way, Celeborn said that his intelligence is that there are enemies wandering around, which could very easily be keeping up with us, tracking us, and trying to do who knows what kind of bad things to us, so we should all stay together and not wander off. He didn't bother to tell anybody this when Frodo is carrying the Ring of Power. I mean, like, really? Ugh. You know, it's one of those things, you don't really notice it the first time you watch it, but then when you watch it enough times and you're like, wait a minute, Frodo is wandering off when he clearly shouldn't be if Aragorn is doing his job even barely adequately. So apparently he's not, which is terrible. Alright, this next one is not really a plot incoherence thing. This is actually one of the few things where I kind of critique the movie on special effects, let's say, sort of special effects. It's not that the special effect itself is bad, but when Boromir attacks Frodo, and then Frodo manages to put on the ring, you can tell when he's, you know, visible that Boromir is physically interacting with Frodo. But as soon as the ring goes on, it's like it's just air. The way Boromir is moving his hands before and after has always sat weird with me. And if you really pay attention, it just does not look like it's a really meaningful, it's like Boromir just suddenly stops actually physically interacting with Frodo and is just like waving his hands for the camera, basically. And I don't like it because it's not the case that when you put on the ring, you become not only non-visible, but also non-physical. It doesn't make it so that you can pass through physical objects. Now, you can kind of make this kind of work, I guess, by saying that Boromir, once the ring goes on, is going to be no longer able to, like, physically find Frodo with his eyes to figure out where to put his hands, and therefore it's like, you know, where do you go? But the effect is so instantaneous that you cannot make that work. I really don't know this, but I suspect what happened is they shot the scene with Frodo and they were actually physically interacting, and then took Frodo out and had Boromir, or well, Sean Bean, of course, act without Frodo there. And so what's he going to do with his hands? He's got no physical thing to actually interact with anymore. And so he can't actually put his hands on anything. So he has to just move them. But it just, every time I watch it, I'm like, man, you could tell he's not interacting with a physical object there. And it just, it always bugs my brain. You'd think they could have done a little bit better job at this. So this is just me criticizing the movie from a technical standpoint. Most of the movie technically is awesome, but this one has never seemed okay to me. And, you know, maybe it's just me, but it always throws me for a loop every time I see it because it just does not look right. So, you know, that's why I put it in this list. Okay, this next one is a common problem in action movies of any stripe, and particularly in situations where you have people of normal abilities fighting a bunch of other people. You know, if you're having superheroes fight a bunch of regular people, that's one thing, but Aragorn is not a superhero, and when he goes and fights the apparently 100-plus Uruk-hai, the problem that arises here is that Aragorn can't take all those people. I mean, there's just no way. Like, the first part of the fight is at least kind of believable because he goes out there and he just, like, does wide sweeps with his sword to keep the bad guys back, and he works his way back to the stairs that Frodo had just gone up to the seat of Amon Hen, and that's great because he bottlenecks his opponents in a way that they can't all come at him and surround him. That's smart. But then he almost immediately ends up jumping from the top of that thing into the middle of all the orcs, and ends up on the ground after taking like two or three of them down with him. And it's like, that right there was the opportunity for all the Uruk-hai to just dogpile and kill him. And yeah, Gimli and Legolas show up and start kind of covering him, but not immediately. So this is one of those things where it's just, you know, this is a, like I said, a common trope and problem in action movies where you have one person fighting a whole bunch of people, and if you have that large group of people and they're not all trying to kill the main guy that they're fighting at the same time, it's because they're stupid. You don't, you know, if you have a numbers advantage, use your numbers advantage. Bad guys don't play nice and, you know, allow multiple one-on-one encounters with the good guy just so that the good guy can live or have a sporting chance. That's not how this works. Those Uruk-hai ought to be swarming Aragorn enough to the point where he literally cannot fight them all off because it's just not physically possible. But it, you know, and a really bad example of this, by the way, is Star Wars The Last Jedi, because the scene in the throne room where Kylo Ren and Rey are fighting off all the Imperial bodyguard or whatever they are, there are multiple points, if you pay attention in that fight, where you can tell that one or more of the Imperial guards is perfectly capable of just whacking them in the back and literally just backs up, you know. And you don't get that. It's not quite so obvious in The Fellowship of the Ring, okay? I'm not saying it's that bad. But the principle of it is still there. Like I said, once Aragorn hits the ground, any Uruk-hai that were running by next to those other ones that he took out, they should have just, like, turned aside and go, okay, bam, whacked him in the head, bye-bye Aragorn. You know, and this is the problem with trying to introduce action scenes into every single thing where we have heroes and bad guys in the same area. Like, okay, and I know what you're going to say, but Boromir actually does take out a whole bunch of bad guys in the, you know, book. Yes, he does. But Boromir is not fighting Uruk-hai. One thing that we know is that originally it's just a bunch of the goblins out of Moria, and they are smaller and weaker. And we will find this out when Merry and Pippin are in the bunch of them all mixed together. And the Uruk-hai are going to kill all of the Moria goblins. They're going to wipe them out because they're bigger, tougher, and everything else. Boromir is a, a tall, strong man, and he's got, lots of skill. The Moria goblins, we get the impression that they are small and dangerous in numbers, but not particularly awesome. Uruk-hai are a different story. They just are. Boromir comes across the group of goblins, and it's him facing off a bunch of guys, and he's, we know at some point he's going to have his back to a tree, because when Aragorn finds him, he's going to be slumped against one. But he's, he's taking out the goblins because they're weaker, smaller, and less dangerous. It's only when the Uruk-hai show up and start shooting him, that's when he gets taken out. So, yes, Boromir will do something similar, but we don't know how many he's facing before the Uruk-hai show up, and we know that the ones he is facing are weaker, smaller, and, easier to take out, one against many. Aragorn is not in that situation in the movie. That's not what's happening. So, that's me trying to get ahead of any criticism here. And I'm not saying it's impossible to face off, one against many. Tolkien certainly does give his heroes a sort of preternatural ability to fight off and a bunch of people and not get hurt because they're the heroes, and that's fine, but shoot it in a way where it's not quite so unbelievable. Don't have Aragorn literally jump off into the middle of a bunch of bad guys who could then very easily just take 3 seconds out of their time and whack him in the back of the head. All right, we're almost to the end of the movie here, and I've got two more, and the second to last one is a physics problem. Not so much a physics problem as a physical exercise problem, because when Frodo is out on the river in his boat and Sam is trying to join him and get, go with Frodo, and Frodo's like, no, you're, I'm going alone, and Sam says, of course you are, and I'm going with you, and Sam wades out into the water stupidly, and, this would have been so much easier if they'd just done it the way the book did it. Because in the book, he jumps off of kind of a steeper embankment into the river and doesn't make it to the boat, and that's how he ends up in the water. Here, Frodo is like several yards out into the river, and he's just striding out into the river like, I'm just gonna, by sheer force of will, make it. Stupid. As Frodo points out in the movie, you can't swim! but the problem arises when Sam makes it far enough that he actually starts sinking below the surface of the water, and we see Frodo, drop his paddle in the boat and go, Sam! And then all we see is Sam underwater in slow motion, apparently, because he's barely moving. And the next thing we know, Frodo's got his hand down there pulling him up. And the problem is, if you look at the distance that Frodo had from Sam whenever Sam went underwater, there's no way he could have actually paddled that boat back fast enough. He would have already had some momentum still carrying him toward the other shore, so he would have had to reverse that. But he's one guy, and a hobbit at that, paddling this boat, which, it's an elven boat, it's light, it's probably fairly easy to move, but we can kind of see in the movie a little bit of how quickly Frodo can move this thing. He's not getting back to Sam that fast. I'm sorry. And this is another one of those kind of things where, in a lot of movies where you'll see, like, somebody is catching up or almost getting to something, and then the camera cuts away, and it cuts back, and they're back here again. And it's the same kind of problem. This is, again, a common movie trope that I don't like, but in this particular instance, the reason I don't like it is because they set up a situation where it's like, I really just don't think Frodo could have actually possibly done what he just implies he just did. So, yeah, I don't like it when movies break reality like that. All right, here's another one, and this is my final one for the Fellowship of the Ring, which, again, is not really much of a plot incoherence thing. It's a lot more like the Gimli snoring thing in that the tone is a little wrong. And it took me a while to come around to this because there is a certain sense in which watching this in the movie, especially the first time, you're kind of like, yeah! But then over time, you start to realize really inappropriate. And what I'm talking about is Aragorn's, let's hunt some orc. And then, you know, Legolas and Gimli look at each other like, oh yeah, let's do this. They've literally just finished talking about how they're not going to abandon Merry and Pippin to torment and death. And so they're making a game out of chasing their captors who might torture and kill them. It's like, ah, it's a little too serious a moment, really, for that to be appropriate. Like, it's one thing for Gimli and Legolas to have that as a game when they're defending Helm's Deep. And, you know, even though it may look like all is probably lost and they're probably all going to get killed, you know, in that scenario, you can see it as kind of like dark humor. But when you're talking about rescuing your friends who are bound for who knows exactly what fate, it just seems a little cringy to start thinking of hunting orcs as like just a pleasure drive. Like, ow, what did you just do? I just, again, the first time I saw this, I kind of had that same moment. And Howard Shore's score right around here, you know, builds up to it really nicely. And Aragorn himself saying it and the way he says it is not quite so much the problem. Although even Aragorn is a little bit too flippant about it in some way. But Legolas and Gimli, especially Gimli, because Gimli is, you know, and that's nothing against John Rhys Davies. John Rhys Davies is a fabulous actor and he does some great stuff. But the, you know, just the reaction that Gimli has of like, yeah, it's just going to be fun. It's just like, not the moment. Not the moment. It's just really not. So, and this is tonally inappropriate in the movie, even if you really stop and think about it. But also, it's completely contrary to the way these characters would react in a real situation like this. If, you know, if you think about what you would be thinking and doing in a scenario like this, if you knew a bunch of roving marauders had just kidnapped, say, a member of your family, and you were going to go rescue them with you and your two teenage sons or something like that, imagine a Western, you know, or something, and a bunch of bandits had just kidnapped your wife and you got to go rescue her. Are you going to be acting like Gimli as you tell your kids, or are your kids going to act like Gimli when you tell your kids, hey, we got to go hunt these guys down and rescue? No, of course not. Like, that's, it's too deadly serious for that. It's just not cool. So that's why, again, I put this in the list. Totally inappropriate, but also unrealistic in the way that the characters are reacting here. So, didn't like it. So that wraps up my extreme nitpick of The Fellowship of the Ring. Next time I'm back for this series, it'll be to start The Two Towers, finally. But, yeah, hope you've enjoyed this so far. If you have, please do give the video a thumbs up, share it around. Make sure you subscribe to catch all my future content. And if you're on YouTube, click the bell icon to make sure you don't miss any of my content or notifications. Follow me on the platform formerly known as Twitter for Tolkien-related trivia questions every week. And check the description below for other social and support links. Until the next time, I'm the Tolkien Geek, signing out for the Tolkien Lore Channel. Namarie! Thanks to all my channel supporters, especially Paul Leone, Nathan Dufour, and Robert Kindling.